In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And I'm so glad you could join us. We are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and we're going to be beginning a new section, verses 20 through 33. Let's begin by just reading this amazing text as we're introduced to Lady Wisdom. Verse 20 begins, "Wisdom calls aloud outside, raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained all my counsel, and you would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Now, this is an amazing introduction to Lady Wisdom. We'll hear her talk again later in the book of Proverbs, but this particular chapter is absolutely fascinating. In fact, there's a structure here that I don't want you to miss. Let me walk you through a couple ways you can think through this. Verses 20 through 21 is where Lady Wisdom speaks. Verse 22, she reveals the problem. Verse 23, wisdom calls for repentance and promises blessing. But in verses 24, 25, wisdom is silenced by these unbelievers who reject her wisdom. Verses 26 through 32, wisdom then reveals the penalty. And verse 33, wisdom calls for repentance and promises blessing. It's an amazing chapter. But there's another structure that I don't want you to miss. It's called a chiastic structure. And the way a chiastic structure works is it parallels the beginning and the end, and you move kind of towards the middle. The advantage of a chiastic structure is what you see in the middle. And the middle of this passage would be verses 26 through 27, where wisdom justly mocks. In other words, Lady Wisdom rejects those who reject her. There's another way of looking at this outline as well, and it's verses 20 through 32, do you have eyes to see and hear? See, wisdom is available everywhere. That's what verses 20 through 21 tell us. Wisdom addresses everyone in verse 22. Wisdom tells us the award is insured in verse 23. But then we come to verses 24 through 32. What happens when you refuse the rebuke? In other words, when you reject wisdom. We discover in 24 through 25, fools reject wisdom. And then in 26 through 27, wisdom rejects fools. And then we come to verses 31 through 33, and the question is, what will be your end? Will it be rebellion against wisdom? Will it be ruin against wisdom in verse 32? Or will it be repentance in verse 33? So I want to introduce to you Lady Wisdom. Who is she? Where is she? And what does she have to say to you? She does appear throughout the book of Proverbs and the book of Job. In fact, Job 28:13, it should be translated as her. In Job chapter 28, verses 12 through 28, we see a little introduction to Lady Wisdom there. Now, this is important. Wisdom is not the person of the Holy Spirit in this passage, because the Holy Spirit is never referenced as a female. However, this is a literary device used by the author to get our attention. For example, here's the Holy Spirit being described as male. John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, 17 continues, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 26 of the same chapter 14 of John, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So we're seeing all these different individuals, the scriptures, Christ, John, all describing the Holy Spirit as he. There's a couple others I think are worth bringing to light here. John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then John 16, 13, probably the most, including verse 14, of these pronouns. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So Lady Wisdom in this passage is a personification of wisdom itself, which ultimately comes from God. Now, wisdom's worth is far above rubies, as is the virtuous wife. In fact, Job 28:18, as I mentioned earlier, no mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Now, I love this little connection here between wisdom being worth rubies and a virtuous wife, an excellent wife, is worth rubies. And they're both being described, of course, in a feminine way. So it's this beautiful connection, but also tells us that an excellent wife is a wise wife. And that's exactly what Proverbs 31 implies. Now, we are in the world, and we must beware of counterfeits to wisdom. For example, I don't know if you've ever seen, it's worth looking online, the world's Lady Justice. Now, that Lady Justice is actually rooted in Romans Justitia, the goddess of justice. This is not Lady Wisdom. The ancient Greeks had a goddess called Sophia, and again, that's not Lady Wisdom. Then we have individuals who claim to be wise, gurus, sages, maharishis, spiritual guides, etc. And a question that you need to be asking yourself, can you discern Lady Wisdom from the counterfeits? And I'll go so far to say from Mistress Folly, which we'll be introduced to her later. Now, remember, personification is this, to attribute human traits and qualities to that which is not human. So in other words, we're looking at wisdom and we're attributing wisdom as this Lady Wisdom. Solomon is taking this abstract idea of wisdom and personifying it so that his sons can understand it more practically. This is to help one cultivate a love for wisdom and will be useful when the parents are not around. And this is particularly fascinating because he's speaking to young men. And he's using this woman personification to say, look, I know you're attracted to ladies, but you need to be first attracted to the lady, Lady Wisdom. Solomon reveals more insight into the sinners mentioned in Proverbs 1, 18 through 19. So we're getting some more insights to what unbelievers and fools act like. Now contrast this, the sinner's scheme in secret, as we saw in the previous set of passages, versus what wisdom is shouting in public for all to hear. And this is an important insight. God's word is out there. He doesn't hide it. It's there for everyone. It's universally available. But people who lie and scheme and compartmentalize, they hide behind closed doors, secret meetings, and they are not out in the open being transparent, because if they were out in the open, the light would expose their deeds. So here's the question as we kick off this section. Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear Lady Wisdom? You know, in Acts 28:25, it reads, "So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit rightly through Isaiah, the prophet to our father, said, 'Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will hear and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it.'" Now, Paul, in this moment, as he communicates to the Jews and how they've rejected God's wisdom and word, he now turns to the Gentiles. And I think this is very telling, isn't it? It's almost as if Paul is acting like Lady Wisdom. "I've given you the gospel. I've given you God's wisdom. You've rejected it. There's nothing more I can do. You are on your own, and be ready for the whirlwind that awaits you." But check out Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21, Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2, and Matthew 13, 15. This theme of God's word being rejected is repeated in scriptures over and over. Now, another aspect of this, as we look at 20 through 21 specifically, is that wisdom is available everywhere. Let me read these two verses again. "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words." Do you see how all those things are everywhere? She's not hiding. She's not concealing. But the question is, can you hear the voice of wisdom above the voices of the world, above even your own inner voice? Wisdom has a variety of voices, and they're shared here. First, she calls aloud. This literally means she is shouting to anyone who would listen. Then she raises her voice. She speaks up to be heard above others. Then she cries out. This is a proclamation with great urgency. And then she speaks her words. In other words, she declares with clarity. What an amazing set of activities Lady Wisdom is. Now, Wisdom also has various venues. I don't want you to miss this. She's outside, public versus private. She's in the open squares. She's in the open street versus the hidden alley. She's in the chief concourses. In other words, she's at the busy intersections versus the quiet corner. She's at the opening of the gates in the city. So as people come into the city, she's there. And as she departs, she is there. Compare this to Lady Folly's house or even the adulterer's home. Now, as we wrap things up, even now, as you think about the rest of the day, what thoughts are filling your mind? Are they the things of the world or are they the things of God? This is the cry that wisdom makes to you. Listen to me. Wisdom is pleading with each one of us. Heed to her words. May you, brother and sister in the Lord, turn to the scriptures and grow in grace and truth and wisdom.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.